Welcome back to Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. Water attracted early settlers to Detroit, and water fueled its growth. Now it's an important asset to the city's recovery. Today, Current State continues to explore Detroit's waterfront, challenges and opportunities in our series, Detroit Water Renaissance. Last week, we looked at the unearthing of Detroit streams. Today, we explore efforts to re-engineer the Detroit River's concrete shoreline. Detroit's not exactly known for its natural waterfront. The Detroit River is 32 miles long on the U.S. side, and of those 32 miles, just 1 mile is still undeveloped wetland. But in recent years, the river's been undergoing a pretty remarkable transition. Industrial sites are being cleaned up and re-engineered into habitats for wildlife. And one visionary wildlife manager is pushing for what's called soft shorelines all up and down the river. But the project is an uphill battle against environmental contamination and a lack of funding. For WKAR and Great Lakes Echo, reporter Lewis Wallace takes us on a tour.
It's 8 a.m. and I'm at the Humbug Marsh in Trenton, downriver from Detroit. That's the mythical mile of the Detroit River that was never paved. It smells like burning plastic from a chemical plant next door. But down in the Humbug Woods, longtime downriver resident Mickey Widener stops to eavesdrop on a birdwatching tour. And he puts things in context.
I remember going past Wyandotte, the city I live in, and the water was white. You'd go past Great Lake Steel, and the water was orange.
He says a lot has changed along the Detroit River.
You know, my ride here down Jefferson, it's heavy, heavy, heavy industrial. Now it's like driving down a country road.
At least some of that is thanks to the man who's my guide for the day.
My name is John Hartig, and I'm the refuge manager for the Detroit River International Wildlife Refuge.
Hartig's been working to restore natural habitats all up and down the Detroit River, starting right here with the Humbug Marsh. He was instrumental in creating the first ever international wildlife refuge, along with the Canadian government, in 2001. Humbug is the centerpiece, and the refuge adopts more land all the time. Hartig's passionate about the project.
What we're doing with birds and fish and outdoor recreation is really part of a bigger strategy to make a city sustainable and livable.
And Hartig's not just about preservation. He's about rebuilding, which is where soft shoreline engineering comes in. Basically, they take out cement and steel along the water and put in rocks and native species in their place.
So let's just go right over here.
We cross a scraggly-looking field.
You can just see how we're walking down towards the water now. You get the, and these are species of native trees. What we've done is created some underwater habitat of rocks that are of varying sizes.
Honestly, it doesn't look like much. Rocks and mud and a few plants. But Hartig says this soft shoreline is a haven for fish and wetland wildlife returning to the river.
Think about it from an invertebrate perspective. Engineers wanted everything straight lines, and we want some what we call sinuosity, you know, some undulation.
And he says it's cheaper to build, too, than hard shorelines. Hartig says the price tag for a soft shoreline can be a fraction of the cost of cement and steel pilings. He's worked on more than 50 soft shoreline projects in the Detroit area, and a couple new projects get added to his docket every year.
Listen,
so we continue on up the river to another.
It used to be called Slocum's Island, and now it's called Elizabeth Park.
And another.
The Black Lagoon.
So named because a few years ago they dug down underwater to test the soils and...
In the middle of the sediments was a big band of nothing but oil and grease.
Capping the contamination and building a soft shoreline has taken years. And it becomes increasingly clear, the further we get from Humbug, that it's not all frogs and marshes in the Detroit River. There are some pretty serious obstacles to restoring wetlands here. Just this two-county area has more than 400 contaminated industrial sites. Hartig says, sure.
We are the Rust Belt, as they say. And so we have had huge heavy industry here. Some of it's gone, but some of it still remains.
And then there's the constant fundraising. Most of the money for Hartig's projects is federal, and there's private funding, but it's still never enough. It took 9 years just to clean up the site for a planned visitor center for the refuge. It was expected to be completed years ago, but funding problems are no surprise in this region. Southeast Michigan has suffered from the loss of industry, and Detroit has been on the verge of a financial meltdown for a long time. In recent years, hundreds of city parks have closed due to budget cuts. Faye Nelson heads the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy, the nonprofit that manages 5.5 miles of the Detroit shoreline, where Hartig also has soft shore projects. I ask how they justify their focus on the riverfront when there are so many unmet needs.
So this just isn't a waterfront that's used by, you know, workers that are downtown. This waterfront is utilized by the community throughout the region.
And she says there's an economic angle, too.
It provides a huge benefit beyond quality of life that is already bringing major dollars, a major economic return to our community, and we've only just begun.
But those benefits aren't reaching everywhere. It just takes a drive up to Detroit through about 25 miles of factories and burned-out homes to see that. I stop off at a place called Riverside Park, and there's a big sign at the entrance, closed due to environmental contamination. And get this, this closed park is chock full of people out fishing. Detroiters Ruth and Ronnie Williams say Riverside isn't how it used to be.
Well, we used to have swings and bathrooms here, but they ain't got them no more. I used to bring my grandkids and my kids down here all the time.
They closed this park down, then they closed a couple more down. We got everybody piled into one place now.
Piled in is right. People are jammed in here. And that's just it. This place doesn't have the forward progress feeling of all Hartig's shoreline projects. But still, people really want to spend their Saturday on this river. Enough to hang out in a contaminated park. One fisherman I talked to has lived in Detroit his whole life. And now he's retired. He says, yeah, the change along the Detroit River is slow and it's uneven. But he'll take what he can get.
Wouldn't it be terrible if your children had to only see animals in cages or in zoos and petting zoos and never have to see nothing in a while like it was intended? Because of human beings, we've dredged all the lakes and rivers and we've built on everything and there's no space left for them. I mean, it would be a shame if you come down here one day and all this water was gone. There was nothing out there but muddy bottom and a bunch of rocks and trash.
For WKAR and Great Lakes Echo, I'm Lewis Wallace.
Detroit winter. Platinum pipes.
And the series Detroit Water Renaissance is produced by Current State and Great Lakes Echo, with support from the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Next week in our series, we take a look at Detroit's multi-billion-dollar fishing industry. Face them, run to the ground, ancient ruins of a metropolis, not a populace, shrinking ink and deals to build as if